Take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and for what we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that one day our home will be in heaven and we will live in a perfect world and we will be perfect. Lord, thank you for those who've gone on before. And thank you, Lord, for when Christ will come back. Lord, we are very blessed, and thank you, Lord, for being with us each and every day, watching over us, caring for us, even in the midst of troubles and trials, you are there to comfort and help us. You use many sources, Lord, yourself, but you use people and use your word and singing and fellowship, all sorts of things, and we thank you for that, Lord. Help us as Christians to love you and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do not want to define every term in here, because that is not my point this morning. This is the scene in heaven. But what I want to focus on is the person that they saw. It says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now, it was not literally a lamb, but one who was like a lamb, the person of Jesus Christ. And so why is he called the lamb? What is very interesting, all through the book of Revelation, there's about 20 references to Christ as the lamb. In previous New Testament scriptures, it's not mentioned much. It's mentioned some, but not mentioned much. But in Revelation, it's mentioned quite a bit that Jesus Christ is the Lamb. Why is he the Lamb? Well, you can write it down, Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Bible says when they got ready to be delivered and God was going to set up the Passover feast, he said this, "Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, you shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." God established the Passover, the deliverance of Israel from the bondage of Egyptian slavery. And what he established was that situation that looked forward to Jesus Christ. And so what they were to take was a lamb. And they were to take that lamb on the 10th day of the month and to bring that young lamb into the house. And they were to keep that lamb for 4 days. And then at the end of the 4 days, they were then to kill the lamb. They were to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. That's why it's called the Passover, because the Lord said when he began to smite the Egyptians in the very last plague, he would pass over Israel if he saw the blood sprinkled over. And so the blood symbolized and was the lamb was substituting for their sin. And so it looks forward to the person of Christ. We come to the Lord's table, which the Lord Jesus Christ himself established at the last Passover. When he ate with the disciples and met with the disciples, he ended the Old Testament Passover and established the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, which now looks back to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament Passover looked forward to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look back to remind ourselves of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death for us. That is why he is called the Lamb. But the second thing I want you to sort of think about is, who is this Lamb? Now, I'm very careful in life to be very precise in Bible interpretation, because I believe much of the problem today is interpretation is wrong and misused. So I'm very precise. So what I present to you today is true of Christ, but I'm not sure it's entirely found in the image of the Lamb, but I think it is. But if not, that's okay. What I say is true about Jesus Christ, because I got to thinking about, why did God want them to take a lamb? Small sheep. Why did he want them to take a lamb? Well, I want to present to you five things. First of all, the lamb was a male. Jesus Christ was a man. And Jesus Christ, as a man, went to the cross and died for our sin. Secondly, the lamb is young. It is to be less than a year old or a year old. So it was a young lamb, a baby lamb, you might say. And I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross young. Jesus Christ did not live to be 60, 70, 80, 90. He came and ministered and began his ministry somewhere around the age of 30, maybe a little bit before. He ministered for 3 years, maybe 3.5 years, and then he went to a cross and was crucified for our sins because he was a young man, cut down in the prime of his life. Thirdly, when I think about a lamb, I try to imagine that they bring this lamb into their house for 4 days, this little billy old lamb. He kind of probably becomes a little bit of a pet. One thing about the lamb is, though he's kind of like a little baby, he's innocent. He's just a little lamb. You know, you ever seen going to the zoo? One of the most funnest things to go when you go to the zoo is to see when they have babies and to see the little ones. That's one of the reasons children, I think, are so much fun. Because children, we all said we wish we could have their energy. Well, the truth is, they just play. They have a good time wherever they are. They enjoy themselves. And one of the things you'll notice when you go to a zoo, and you'll see particularly little cubs or see them, they just are playing and wrestling and carrying on. And I guess I say they're kind of innocent, just like children are. That's why the Lord said you're to take a lamb without blemish, because Jesus Christ was perfect, never did sin, and he was innocent of any charges for which he paid the crime for. You and I tend to forget and need to emphasize that Jesus was innocent. Every once in a while you hear about someone who's been accused of a crime, maybe served in prison for a few years, and then they find out that that person was innocent of that crime. Well, Jesus was innocent of anything. He never did anything wrong, but Jesus Christ paid the substitutionary death because we are not innocent. He took our place. Fourthly, you study about sheep and particularly lambs, they really follow a leader. You know, it's funny when we used to bring the sheep here for Christmas, and you'll watch them. When one comes out, they just follow right in behind that one. And that's one of the characteristics of sheep. That's why David talked so much about the Lord is my shepherd and we are like sheep, because the shepherd took care of his sheep and they followed him. One thing about a lamb, they willingly follow. They do what they're told, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus said to them, "You don't take my life." He said, "I could call 12 legions of angels right now, and in this process right here and now, you don't take my life, Mr. High Priest. I willingly offer my life. I could end this right now if I wanted to, but I will not. I will willingly offer myself. I will willingly obey the Father's will. We know the story of Jesus Christ struggling in the garden, and yet Jesus Christ willingly offered himself as a substitute for you. And then fifthly, I've mentioned before, but I love it. I don't think we could mention it enough. Why did God do it this way? Well, I think you could make a case that the lamb symbolized some things about Christ. But I think you could also make a case that God let them take this animal, a little lamb, a little pet, and bring it into the house for 4 days. And I don't know if you love animals. Some folks don't love animals. That's okay. But I like animals. I love animals. And so I can imagine bringing this animal in. You know, we used to have one of our children when we were home. I don't know what it was. I don't know if there was a signal that all the strays sent out. But wherever he was, a stray would come up to him and he would bring that stray home. I mean, he brought on a stray from the ball field, Daddy. I was just out there playing ball and all of a sudden this stray came up to me. He was the ugliest cat in the entire world. He is now our cat, Bobo, and he's a very pretty cat. He found another cat, Oliver, somewhere in a wheel. I don't know where it was, but anyway. And he used to bring, finally, we just had to say, no. I don't know what the animal kingdom is doing. But wherever my son is, they send signals. Go to that fella because he'll take us home. And one time he brought one home. I said, I don't want it. Because this animal stays a couple days, I will like it and want to keep it. And we got enough as it is. Well, I think they wanted them to bring this lamb in, because the whole family in those 4 days would grow to love this little lamb. And I think the father, and he did the same thing with Abraham. He did the same thing with Abraham. He wanted them to know and understand through an experience that the father loved the son. And that the father was doing something of great sacrifice to offer his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our behalf. He did the same thing with Abraham. He said, when you now have the son of promise, I want you to go out there and I want you to sacrifice him. Okay, Lord, I will do what you say. In other words, he wanted him to offer that person that he truly, truly loved. But he stopped it because he was testing his obedience. Well, I think of all the things you could learn from the lamb grew to be loved. And Jesus Christ was loved of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved the Son. Jesus talked about often that I and the Father are one, meaning they are of the same essence and same nature, but he offered himself in human means to submit himself to his heavenly Father, but the Father loved the Son. And so the Lamb was loved to some degree to teach us that the Father loved the Son and died on the cross for us. That is who the Lamb is. It is interesting. I'm going to show later on, but it's interesting how many times the Bible says in the book of Revelation, particularly in chapter 21 and 22, it never really refers to Christ as Christ. It always refers to Christ as the Lamb whose light shined, the Lamb who was there. It always in heaven referred to Jesus as the Lamb. Don't you notice another thing it says? Chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. The image is very clear. Jesus Christ was there standing expecting you would think that he was slain, but now he is alive. And the idea is that stood the lamb as if he had been slain. And if I understand scripture correctly, that when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, God miraculously kept in his body all the scars for us to see, because I think that's what it means. As stood a lamb, as if that lamb had been slain. You could see the evidence that Jesus Christ bore of the scars in his hands and feet and side of dying on the cross for us. Why are we in heaven? We are in heaven because of the Lamb, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation continually refers to him as the Lamb, hardly ever as Christ, but as the Lamb. It even refers to when people begin to become scared because of the tribulation and they realize the wrath, and it even says the wrath of the Lamb. Don't say the wrath of Christ, the wrath of the Lamb. Because Revelation is the final book to usher us up to heaven. And the whole reason heaven refers to Christ as the Lamb, because of when we're in heaven, there will be no bragging. There will be no arrogance. There will be no "I made it." There will be simply humility and gratefulness because of the Lamb. And we will see him time after time after time after time, and heaven will just be a place in which we will just be grateful that we are there because we trusted in the Lamb who died on the cross for us. In Revelation 5, the image is who's going to take the book, the seven-sealed scroll book from which to pour out the judgments upon the earth so that Jesus Christ will take back the earth from the enemy. Well, who's worthy? Only the Lamb. Because the Lamb left heaven, went to the cross, raised from the dead, went back to heaven, and now he is the victorious, but he is the Lamb, the one who died for us. We'll not be going, "Whoa, boy, was I good. Man, I was so good, I'm glad I made it." No, we won't. We'll be looking directly at the Lamb. We will rejoice in the Lamb. We will rejoice in our Savior. We will enjoy heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. It will just be one big testimony of gratefulness. That's kind of what we do when we come to the Lord's table. We do this every so often. What we do is rather simple. There is no real merit in these elements. They're nothing but grape juice and bread. There's nothing conferred through this. But the Lord wanted us to practice this to remind us. And most of all, we are to come today to be grateful. Man, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm in heaven. Don't go to heaven. I'm so glad that all the stuff I read sometimes, I don't have to believe one whit of it. I'm like, "My goodness, that's heresy. That's wackoness." And I can just say, "Amen, amen. I don't believe that stuff." If the stuff the world says and some of the things the church says, I'm just, hallelujah. I know the Lord Jesus Christ who's changed my life and made a difference in my life. And I'm sure has made a difference in your life. And heaven will be where we will just say, "Boy, there's the Lamb as if he had been slain." We will see it. And we will forever and ever and ever be grateful. And we come today to celebrate, to rejoice. "Oh, you just don't take some juice. You might spill it on your shirt." I don't know. Not that important. Hopefully you won't choke on the bread. But it's all symbolic. It's designed as something God intended us to remind us of each element of what Christ did for us. And so we get busy in life. Oh, we just get busy and get thinking about things in life. And we neglect to just stop and say, "Well, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I am saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and We often think of heaven as who we will get to see. But I heard someone recently say, yes, that's who we'll get to see, and I'll get to see this and that person. But they said, and I thought was so good, the one person I really get to see is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we'll see forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And we will forever be grateful. So you can start today a little bit, renewing your heart to be thankful that you're saved, that your home is heaven, that you're headed there one day because of the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for the Lamb who was slain, who died on the cross for us, loved by you, the person that he was and is. But he has resurrected from the dead, and now he's in heaven forever, the eternal God, and having always been the eternal God, but for a moment wrapping himself in humanity. And thank you, Lord, for our Savior, that heaven will be a place of rejoicing that we're there by grace. And help us today as we observe the Lord's table, that you will help us just here momentarily be grateful for being saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.